together.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox.
And then it was time for a Wild Wednesday edition of Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. And so your affable host, Jeff Byers and Scott Giese, got ready to do that show. It'll be coming up here at 8 o'clock. Wait a second, it's already 8 o'clock.
Now.
Holy cow! Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the big show. Phone line is open at 814-954-7266. My goodness, where does the time go? Although it can't go fast enough till Saturday night. Let's get this game underway already.
Oh, is that right?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, baby.
Can't wait for the big game. Well, let's see. Wednesday, doing the math, 72. It's about 80 hours.
No math.
80 hours.
No math in my contract. Tuesdays and Wednesdays
well, that's
are math-free days.
See.
All right, you can do it.
80 hours or so.
All right.
I'm rounding off.
Uh-huh.
Actually, it's probably, oh, forget it. It's 80-plus hours.
All right.
There we go. All right, we got a, I don't know if it's going to be a wild show. Could be.
Oh, I think it's going to be wild.
Next hour. We're going to be joined by Tristan Kilgore. Tristan is a Penn State student, and he is with the Penn State College Republicans. Now, if you're a longtime listener, we've been doing this for almost in the beginning, over a year and a half, where we reached out to the Penn State College Democrats and College Republicans. And the idea is we wanted to get an idea. What are young people thinking, all right? Scott here, folks. I'm not a young person anymore, right? I admit it. I won't talk for him.
I'm young at heart, I tell you. Yeah. I'm young at heart.
Neither is he. So we want to get young people's perspectives on things. We've had some really interesting interviews in the past with some members of both the Democrats and the Republicans. So recently I reached out to both, now that the obviously fall semester has started, heard back from both. On the Democrat side, we're going to have to do something because the folks who would be available to come and speak, apparently they have morning classes every morning. And, of course, we don't want to, you know, no cutting class. We don't need some professor contacting us. What are you doing? You're supposed to be in my class. You know, that sort of. No, we're not going that route. So we're going to keep working with them because we want to see if we can get somebody on air. But this morning, Tristan is from the College Republicans, and he is available on Wednesday mornings. I'm like, okay, cool. So he's going to join us here in studio, and we're going to get an idea about his group. What are they thinking right now? Now, I reached out before the Charlie Kirk incident from a couple of weeks ago. All right? This was before that. And so I'm sure their group has opinions and so on what's been going on the last 2 weeks. What are young people thinking right now? It's not an election year. Last year was an election year. That was unique. All right? This is different. So we're going to get some young person's perspectives coming up at 9 o'clock. That should be pretty interesting. All right. Weather-wise, yeah, it's kind of gray, foggy in some spots. Be careful, driving and all that sort of stuff. Yes, my goodness, yesterday we had actual, honest-to-goodness, rain.
It's true.
I'm at home yesterday. It's like 3 or 4 o'clock. I'm working away. I look out the window. I'm like, holy mackerel, that's a lot of rain. Where'd that come from?
Yeah.
In my unofficial rain gauge, which in my backyard, that's a bucket. All right. At my house, at least, we got upwards of an inch of rain yesterday. I mean, folks, think about it. That's more rain we've gotten since, I don't know, June? I mean, add it up, like week. That's more than we've gotten since June. Yikes. Now, good news, lawns will green up as they do, all right? For my farmer friends, they're already like, hey, too little too late, It's the end of the growing season. inch of rain, we could have used this like weeks ago. Not going to help the farmers out very much. I've passed some soybean fields that are just brown. And I have to wonder, that doesn't look good. I don't know what kind of return they're going to have on that field there.
Mm-hmm.
So the rain yesterday doesn't really do the farmers immediate good. But lawns, I'd say watch for lawns to green up, you know, here in the next few days. Probably some rain today. Probably some rain tomorrow. Saturday for that football game he was talking about.
That's right.
Looking good. I mean, Saturday is looking good. So that's a good thing. And granted, right now it's a little humid. Remember, it's been so dry and low humidity recently. Little humid, but it kind of feels like autumn. And, of course, the fall foliage and the leaves turning and all that sort of stuff. All right, it's about that time. All right, right about now into the beginning of October. Although, again, at my house, the leaves have been falling.
Yes.
Because it's been too dry. And now that it's rained, I'm not sure. It won't be today. Maybe Friday. I need to try to get some kind of lawn mowing done. Although at my house, it's going to be more like leaf chewing. Won't be so much lawn mowing. It'll be leaf chewing or leaf blowing. Because I've got some big patches of my lawn. I can't even see the lawn. It's totally covered by leaves. So time. It's that time of year. Leaf chewing. Okay, there we go. Let's see. All right, lots and lots of stuff. All right, last night, I did not watch this. All right, the Jimmy Kimmel show. All right, he was on last night. By 11th, I was out by 10:30 last night, sorry. But one thing I did do is I went to my TV and I set it up to record. All right, now this is an ABC show. The local ABC affiliate is WATM, which is Altoona Johnstown, reaches up to us. And they're owned by one of those two companies that said, nope, we're going to preempt. We're not going to air the show. Somebody changed their mind? Because they did air the show. I know because I recorded it last night. And so this morning before I hit the road, I turned it on, only watched the first, a couple of minutes, just to make sure, did they actually air it? Yep, there it is. And, of course, Jimmy Kimmel gets a standing ovation from a big crowd.
Whoa.
Okay, yippee-yahoo. CNN's headline, An Emotional Kimmel Returns to ABC.
He was emotional. I did see some of the clips.
Yeah, and a sales trumps un-American attacks on free speech. Okay, all right, that's fine. He had a lot of comments last night. Plenty of check any news channel, any outlet. They have a recap of his gig last night. He thanked a bunch of people. He thanked Ted Cruz. Kimmel hates Ted Cruz. All right, that part I know. He thanked Rand Paul. He thanked Mitch McConnell. Now these are all Republican senators. And in the past week, they've said, whoa, hold on, you know, the whole free speech thing and so on, going a little far here and so on. So he thanked them. He was a little, I guess, conciliatory because he realized, this is an opinion now, he realized last week he crossed a line and he ticked off a lot of people. All right, he realized it. He didn't realize it at the time. It wasn't until he got benched that he realized, okay, maybe I went a little too far last week. So the little bit I saw comments I've read this morning, he was a little conciliatory. All right. Now, again, this was all after the Charlie Kirk incident or assassination. He praised Erica Kirk. Remember, she said in her big funeral speech the other day, she forgave the killer. And so on. So he had nice things to say about her. Okay, that's great. I guess the question is, what's going to happen from now? All right. Kimmel clearly is a political liberal, and he's not afraid to show it on his show. He was not, again, an opinion. He was not benched last week because of free speech. That had nothing to do with it. He was benched last week because he pissed off the boss. And the boss in this case was Disney. and CEO Bob Iger. He ticked them off last week. And then he doubled down and dug in his heels, and that's when he got benched. Like, okay, son, you need to sit down. Think about any sports coach. And probably maybe every sports coach has had to do this at some point. You got some athlete on your team, guy or gal, that gets a little too big for the uniform and, you know, swagger and mouthing off and other stuff. And at some point you just say, sit down. Take a seat. The end of the bench is right over there. You take a seat. Cool off. That's essentially, in my opinion, what happened to Jimmy Kimmel last week. He got sat on the bench because he mouthed off. And decided, well, I'm bigger than anything. No, you're not bigger. You're not bigger than us. You're not bigger than the boss. Okay? Have a seat. And so he had a seat for a week, and they talked about it. I think Disney really did want to bring him back on, but not what happened last Monday. And so they allowed him to cool off, to rethink things, to realize that, sir, you are a comedian and an entertainer. You are not a public you're not a political commentator, all right? Make sure you know what your job is. Now, he still got his jabs in on Trump last night. He's going to do that every night. There will be at least one jab against Trump. I'd bet money on this. There will be one jab against Trump in every single Kimmel show because that will appease that part of the audience that just eats that stuff up. Meanwhile, there's the rest of us that, could you just be entertaining? That's all we're asking you to do. Just be entertaining. So let's see what happens after this, after last night. All right? Is he going to get back on his high horse and go ridiculous? I think if he does, Disney probably benches him again. All right? Because, again, these TV channel companies, Sinclair and Nexstar, have both said, look, if he keeps this up, we're going to pull him. We'll put on, what was it, Celebrity Family Feud or something like that. I swear they should still go back to Gilligan's Island. Put Gilligan's Island back on. At least Gilligan's Island was funny. All right, one man's opinion. But now, you know, Trump being Trump, he goes on his social media outlet last night, talks, you know, kind of intimates, well, I might sue ABC. I'm like, oh, that's stupid. That's utterly stupid. Why would you do that? All right? Why do you want to give yourself, Mr. Trump, why do you want to give yourself a black eye? That makes no sense. So enough of the suing crap. All right? You're not going to sue them. That would look stupid. So just put that aside. Now, again, what's going to happen from here? We'll keep an eye on that. And for these outlets that keep track of ratings and stuff, again, I'm sure Kimmel's ratings last night went through the roof. Poof. Now, the question is, will they stay up on the roof, or are they going to come back down, like over a period of days? You know, in other words, how long will this be remembered? Well, I don't know. We'll see. All right, speaking of Trump, he's at the UN yesterday. Oh, was that fun? If you saw some of the news coverage, probably any channel yesterday, Trump being Trump, of course, gets in front of the entire United Nations, pretty much dresses them down. There were plenty of long faces in the room that probably either didn't like what they heard or didn't want to hear from this guy. Apparently, at one point, the escalator at the UN building broke down. Okay, who's in charge of the building? And then, they have teleprompters because usually speeches are written. And apparently the teleprompter broke down. Really? Is this a coincidence? If it is, UN, you got some really shoddy engineering there. We wouldn't know anything about that, but let's move on. But, I mean, does Trump need a teleprompter? Of course not. We've seen this guy. Talks and talks. Yeah, he gets his key points across, and he rambles in between. And that's essential. From what little I saw yesterday, that's essentially what he did yesterday. I mean, he had his points he wanted to get across. He got them across, and he kind of rambled in between. Boom, boom. Oh, your countries are going to hell. Oh, I bet the other countries were thrilled to hear that. Yeah, my country's going to hell. Okay. That was the phrase, if you didn't catch this yesterday. That was the phrase he used. Right in front of 190 countries. Yeah, your countries are going to hell. Okay. It's good that the UN's in New York. Holy moly. He meets with Vladimir Zelensky the leader of Ukraine. Now, this drives you a little crazy. All right? He has a heart-to-heart with Vladimir Putin. Remember that in Alaska a few weeks ago? Oh, that got big coverage. And if you remember, back in February, Trump brings Zelensky to the White House, and J.D. Vance is there, and they have an argument right in front of everybody. Remember that? Just boom, 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 boom. Well, yesterday, apparently, the two met again. And by the way, Mr. Zelensky's clothes are much better now. It's interesting what people look for. Well, Mr. Zelensky this time was wearing blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. Like, okay. Yeah, he used to wear like a plain green shirt, like not camo, but it looked something like that. Now he's actually wearing sort of a suit. Some people watch for that stuff. Whatever. But apparently now, Trump says, now I'm taking this from a New York Times story, Trump says Ukraine might be able to reclaim all of its lost territory in the war against Russia. Okay, how are they going to do that? Well, they're only going to do that if Ukraine gets a whole lot of help from their friends, which would include us. Now, what's help? Weapons, of course. People? Really? Okay. Trump previously, I'm reading again, Trump previously said NATO countries should shoot down military aircraft that enter their airspace. Now, that's already happened a couple of times. Poland recently, Estonia the other day, very small country, northeastern Europe. Yes, Trump keeps shifting, and that is driving some people crazy. Like, come on, make up your mind. What's the matter with this guy? Well, here's what's, all right, an opinion. Here's the what's matter with this guy. Keep in mind, we've said this a million times, Donald Trump is a businessman. Everything he does in the White House is through a lens of business. And with business, the idea is get the deal done. Do what you need to do to get the deal done. The deal in this case is end the war between Ukraine and Russia. So, Trump tried the one side. He tried talking to Putin, like, come on, buddy, it's time for you to stop, time for you to knock it off, okay? And Putin responded, essentially, by doing the exact opposite, all right? He's jacked things up over there. At one point, Trump was not Zelensky's friend, all right? They were not friends. But now Zelensky has the backing of his European neighbors, and the European neighbors are coming to Trump saying, come on, all right, Putin's the bad guy. We want to beat the bad guy. And so Trump is like, okay, I want to get this deal done. All right, that strategy didn't work. Okay, this strategy didn't work. Okay, maybe let's try this one. He's going to try different strategies like a business person would until you find the one that works. And he's going to keep doing it. Now, that's not the way politicians and political leaders, that's not the way they normally do it. Usually that's called flip-flopping. All right, we've heard that term. Oh, you're a flip-flopper. You changed your mind. Oh, you can't do that. And Trump's essentially like, I don't care. I want to get this done. Now, is this the right strategy? So Ukraine can get all its land back. Now, if you follow this at all, that's a significant amount of land that Russian forces have claimed so far in eastern Ukraine and Crimea. They're going to get it all back. How are you going to do that? Folks, come on, common sense. There's only one way you're going to do that. We attack them. Now, is that what you want? All right? Yeah, we've been giving Ukraine lots and lots of weapons. All right? Ukraine is not a small country, but medium-sized country. They don't have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of people. If you're going to beat back the Russians back to the original borders, the only way you're going to do that is for NATO and the U.S. to get directly involved in the fight. And so the question simply is, folks, is that what you want? And I'm talking about us, the regular folks, us. All right? Is that what you want? Kids at Penn State. All right, not that we're going to reinstate the draft or anything, but they should be thinking about this. All right, maybe we'll put that question to our guest coming up next hour. What do you think should happen here? I'll be curious for his answer. All right, so stay tuned for that. All right, finally. Ring the bell.
Oh?
Mr. Ironhead, we have a new number one beer.
Hey, hey, hey.
All right, beer is your gig. All right. Now, this is according to Anheuser-Busch. All right. Anheuser-Busch announced this week, Michelob Ultra is apparently now the best-selling beer in the U.S. Now, remember, once upon a time, it was Bud Light.
And then what happened there?
And that whole debacle, we won't go over it, that whole debacle. Then Modelo, which is, I guess, Mexican, became the number one best-selling beer. Now, apparently, it's Michelob Ultra that's the best-selling beer. And I've got one story here that claims that one reason that, I guess, sales of Modelo have gone down, Modelo is owned by Constellation Brands. That's like the big company. And the CEO made a comment that half of Modelo's customers, well, half of Modelo's U.S. customers are Hispanic. That was his claim. Half their customers are Hispanic, and some have stopped going to restaurants to get a beer for fear of being caught up in deportation sweeps. And so that's the reason their beer sales have slipped. Maybe. Now, Scott here, I'm not a big beer drinker. I have never had a Michelob Ultra. Have you ever had one of those?
I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Now, this is a low-calorie beer. It's only, I think, 95 calories. And maybe that's the number one reason why it's so popular, is because it's a low-calorie beer. Now, I've never had one of these. I'll have to, try one sometime. You've had one, Mr. Ironhead. What's it taste like?
Very similar to water.
Okay, it's beer, though. It's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, beer has a lot of water in it. You do know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of beer. All right, but it tastes more like water. Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm
saying. Okay, so beer drinkers are now opting for water. Okay.
Pretty much.
All right. Maybe when we have some open line time later, you can call in and stand up for beer water, all right, if that's your favorite beer. Again, I'm not a big beer drinker, but beer water doesn't do it for me. I'll go for one of the local brands. There we go. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Lots of sportsy stuff, interesting things happening yesterday. And again, we have our interview later with someone from the Penn State College Republicans. What are young people thinking? I'm very curious to see what our guest has to say today. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning, smack dab in the middle of the week as we get ready for the whiteout Saturday night, Penn State and Oregon, and the buildup will continue for a few more days. We will have lots of coverage and previewing of the game over the next 3 days, including today. Even on the national shows, they're discussing it. Dan Patrick, of course, follows this show at 10 o'clock. Joe Lednoski will have plenty of Penn State football talk from noon to 2. It'll be Chris Buchanani and Late Lunch from 2 to 3, and Jim Galati and the Keystone Kickoff Show rolling your way from 3 to 4, and then it's Fox Sports until we have Pirates baseball tonight. But, yes, there will be lots of Penn State-Oregon talk as the Ducks come calling here on Saturday night, and Penn State tries to make an early statement in the 2025 season that indeed the Nittany Lions are national title contenders. If Penn State wins this game, this is a battle of the 2 versus number 5 teams. If Penn State loses, this is 3 versus 6.
That's oh, is that the way it works?
Yeah, we don't okay. we're not going to have the top five okay. Bugaboo for James Franklin if they lose. That's what Chris Buchanani and I decided yesterday.
I saw some headline number 2/3 Penn State.
That's
like,
right.
Boy, pick one. All right.
Yep. 2-3 Penn State versus 5-6 Oregon. AP coaches rankings right. respectively. Yeah, it's just going to be fun. Few folks, as I understand it, are coming into town for
just
the contest.
Yeah.
Should be, quite the scene. Last night's Penn State men's soccer game against Maryland was a roller coaster ride. I mean, it was wild. Ultimately, the teams tied 2-2. At Jeffrey Field last night. Christian Dionne and Ben Madure scored second half goals for the Nittany Lions.
A video review led to a red card for Maryland with the game tied at 1 and about 17 minutes left to play in the second half. Man, what a 17 minutes or so that turned out to be. It was wild. Penn State took the lead on the Dion goal with, again, about... About 7 minutes remaining. The Terrapins disputed the goal. They felt there should have been a foul against Penn State prior to the goal. That was not called. Maryland then tied the game while shorthanded just about a minute, 18 seconds later. And Penn State had what they thought was another go-ahead goal, but that was waved off on an offsides call after review. Jonathan Evans then made a save on a free kick in the final seconds. I mean, like, seconds left on the clock to preserve the tie for Penn State. The Nittany Lions now 2-4-2 on the season, 0-2-1 in Big Ten games. Penn State is off until next Tuesday when Robert Morris will visit Jeffrey Field. Also, high school action from yesterday. The Phillipsburg Osceola girls volleyball team sweeping Penns Valley 25-22, 25-14, and 25-13. The Lady Mounties improving to 10-6-1 on the season, 6-1 in conference action. The Lady Rams fall to 9-7 overall, now 5-3 in conference play. Also on Monday, the State College girls volleyball team defeated Altoona in straight sets 25-14, 25-12. 12 and 25-23. State High is now 7-1 on the season and will be back in action tonight at Cumberland Valley. Also, the Penn State women's hockey team getting ready for the upcoming season. Some high expectations for the women's team as well as the men's team. Penn State is the preseason number 8 in the coaches' rankings, and the Nittany Lions will be opening up their season Thursday and Friday against 9th-ranked St. Lawrence. How's that for easing into the season?
Oh.
8-9.
Pretty good.
That action will be at Pagola Ice Arena. You don't want to miss it.
No. Tomorrow night,
folks.
Friday afternoon.
Get up there and check it out. The Penn State women's soccer team has dropped to number 18 in the coaches' poll now. And Penn State, looking to climb back up the rankings here in the coming weeks, needs to kind of regain their footing, if you will, in conference play. The Penn State men's hockey team naming Dane Dowiak as the team captain for the 2025-2026 campaign. Jared Crespo will serve as the alternate, the team making that announcement yesterday. Speaking of high expectations, I dare say expectations are pretty high for the Nittany Lions heading into the season. They are the preseason number 5 in the coaches' rankings. Penn State will open up its season on Friday, October 3rd, at Arizona State. Get ready, Sun Devils. You don't know what's going to hit you. Pittsburgh Pirates beating the Cincinnati Reds last night 4-2. Hunter Barco got the victory in his Major League debut. Jack Sawinski doubled and scored. O'Neill Cruz hit his 20th home run of the season. The Pirates had an early 4-0 lead after the first inning. The Reds got back into it with an Ellie De La Cruz 2-run homer, but the Pirates go on to the 4-2 victory. Game 2 of that 3-game series is set for tonight. That will be a 6:40 first pitch. 6:15 will be the airtime for the magic of Pirates baseball here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
The magic.
Only 5 more games. Opportunity to finish the season with a 7-game win streak for the Pirates. I mean, look out, baby.
Okay.
They are ready to roll. now that the season is ending. Philadelphia Phillies lost to the Miami Marlins at Citizens Bank Park last night, 6-5. The game went 11 innings before the Marlins were able to pull out the victory. Good news, JT Realmuto, they say now did avoid serious injury. The x-rays were negative. He took a foul ball off the hand. Phillies have already battled their way through, some significant injuries here down the stretch, and have done so admirably. They did not need any more issues there. That series will continue tonight as well. Game two of that three-game series in Philadelphia is set for 6:45 this evening. And, yep, the wild card race is getting very interesting in the National League. And is it just me, or are you kind of enjoying watching the Mets
implode?
Yes, perhaps it's just me. And I did not realize, I took my eye off of the American League a little bit, I did not realize that the Detroit Tigers are now tied with the Guardians. That happened. I mean, that was a 15.5 game lead at one point for Detroit. I knew they were struggling. I knew Cleveland was playing some good baseball. I just was not paying close attention to it. It's like, oh, hey, look at that.
Surprise.
Suddenly, that is becoming very, very intriguing as we make the turn toward the postseason. The Mets trying to hold off the Diamondbacks and the Reds here. Again, Pittsburgh very much in the thick of the playoff race, just as a spoiler, is the role they're playing with Cincinnati. But now it is the Diamondbacks and the Reds both a game behind the Mets for that final wild card spot. Mets are 81-76, and both the Diamondbacks and the Reds now are sitting there at 80-77. Division winners are set in the National League. The Brewers winning the Central, the Phillies the East, and the Dodgers the West, and the Cubs and Padres are into the playoffs with wild card berths. It's, again, a three-team battle here for that final National League wild card spot. And we'll see how it all shakes out. It's been fun to me to kind of listen to folks discuss the Steelers this week, because it's been the same discussion we've had for many years now. It's like, I know they're 2-1, and I know they could go to 3-1 and they could beat the Vikings, but I don't think they're a very good team. And they could go to 4-1, even 5-1, and I get it. I was like, yep. And also, if they get to 5-1 especially, it feels like they will be a playoff team again. Not necessarily a Super Bowl contender, but a playoff team yet again with a winning record yet again, but
I'm not so sure.
It just feels like we're in the same spot year after year. You think they're a Super Bowl contender? I'll disagree with you on that one.
No, I don't.
The Steelers and the Vikings, 9:30 kickoff comes Sunday morning. We'll see. Philadelphia Eagles, meanwhile, they are rolling at 3-0. Fortunate or not to get the last victory, they are rolling, baby. And it's kind of what good teams do. They find the ways to win those games. They've got a big one, though, coming up at Tampa on Sunday. That'll be a 1:00 kickoff for the Eagles come Sunday afternoon.
Tampa's had their share of last-second wins this season. They've been scrambling to win games at the end. So yeah, this Eagles Bucks game, that should be pretty good.
Should be pretty good. Very good.
All right.
And that is a little something we like to call sports. Again, whiteout game Saturday, 7:30. Nittany Lions and the Ducks. Let's get it done, Pence.
All right, a couple quick things.
Yeah.
First off, again, the Steelers play the Vikings Sunday morning.
That's right, 9:30 kickoff.
Now, we will have that game.
We will. We'll join it in progress following Goon and Landon breaking down all things Penn State, Oregon from the big Nittany Lions whiteout victory on Saturday night. They'll be breaking down that big win and analyzing just how the Nittany Lions went about prevailing and dominating that game, similar to the Indiana-Illinois. Goon's going to be like, this is how they got to 63. This is how they held Oregon to 10. It should be quite an intriguing show. They'll be able to break down and analyze exactly how the Nittany Lions dominated that game. That'll be from 10 to 11 come Sunday morning. So we will join the Steelers-Vikings game in progress at 11 o'clock.
Probably about halftime. That'd be
right around
halftime
there.
Of that.
Yeah, right around.
Okay, that's fine.
And then we'll join Fox Sports after that. And then the season finale.
Oh.
For Pirates baseball.
Oh, you'll be excited.
Will the Buccos close out with a big W in Atlanta against the Braves? Everybody in the county will be locked into their radio. They'll have it on. Eagles fans will be turning off the TV. I got to hear how this Pirates game starts. It'll be a...
Yeah. You keep dreaming, bud. That's
2:50 airtime on Sunday afternoon.
Now, it's interesting. When that game is over on Sunday, the Steelers will hop on a plane.
Oh, not the Pirates Braves.
No. The Steelers game.
Yeah.
They'll hop on a plane or... Yeah, not playing.
They'll probably just walk on. And I don't think there's going to be a lot of hopping. NFL players don't tend to do a lot of hopping
on a
after
plane,
the games.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Unless you're hurt, you might have to hop.
It could be.
Fly home. The Vikings will hop on a plane and fly east because this is interesting. The Vikings are going to stay over in the UK for 2 weeks. They're playing Sunday morning football 2 weeks in a row.
That's crazy.
So this Sunday is in Ireland, Dublin. The following Sunday is in London. And apparently this is an experiment. NFL wants to expand beyond the U.S. And they've never tried this before. The Vikings are going to play two games over there, not one. They play the Browns in the second game. Now, it's interesting because if they weren't doing any of this, the Vikings would have two away games. They would be away at Pittsburgh. They would be away at Cleveland. So it's a neutral site. So the Steelers, I guess, agreed to this. They gave up a home game to play in Ireland on Sunday.
Correct.
All right, which is kind of, it's kind of fascinating. I have friends in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I should drop one of them a line. I've got to believe there's a travel agency up there. Hey, how about this trip? Why don't you come with us and follow the Vikings? See two games, tour Ireland, tour England.
That'd be pretty fun.
That would be a pretty cool trip.
That'd be a very cool trip.
There's got to be a travel agency in Minneapolis that's pitching this.
Only downside is you got to watch Vikings football. And they're going to lose at least one of those games. The first one. Do you really want to go all the way to Dublin just to watch them lose to the lowly Steelers?
They just destroyed the Bengals the other day, right?
Yeah, that wasn't the Steelers.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Come on now.
And then finally, Saturday night. All right, now, folks, I don't bet. I don't do that stuff. You know, even with the stuff on your palm of your hand.
I'll bet you don't.
No, I don't bet. But I'm curious about, you know, stuff like that. All right, according to ESPN, wherever they get their information, the over-under on this game Saturday night is 51.5. So if it ends up 51 total points, okay, this way. If it's 52, it's this way.
That would be the over.
I would go under. All right. In four games, Oregon's given up 37 points total. In three games, Penn State's given up 17 points total. And the starting defense has only given up a field goal in three games. All right, remember, they had a last minute touchdown Nevada against the backup guys, and then that last second touchdown against Villanova, again with the backup guys. So you've got two really good defenses here. Remember, they destroyed Oklahoma State, and yes, Mike Gundy got canned yesterday. After a lot of years, I mean, Oklahoma State is terrible. They're awful. So when I look at the defenses, I'm thinking, man, over, under? I'm going under. Now, granted, the offenses have scored a lot of points.
These are two teams that put up 82 points in the Big Ten championship game.
Okay,
just a few months ago.
That was a year ago. That's a different era.
It wasn't a year ago.
Almost a year ago. All right, smart guy. Granted, again, the offenses have piled up some points against who? Well, okay, not exactly defensive juggernauts there. I don't know. I'm thinking under right now.
Going under.
What do you think? Over or under?
I think I might buy the under.
Under?
I think you might have talked me into it.
Yeah. Okay. Under. So we'll see what happens. I think this possibly will be a low scoring affair Saturday night. Time will tell. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We have some open line time. Again, we have a guest from the Penn State College Republicans coming up at 9 o'clock. Again, what are young people thinking? I mean, these last 2 weeks have been nuts, just the last 2 weeks. What are young people thinking in politics and stuff like that? You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We will come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me every Sunday for a marquee primetime NFL matchup. Scott Graham gets things started with a pregame show from the studio with exclusive player interviews and the latest league news. Then from the stadium, Mike and I bring you the exclusive play-by-play call of the action. Join us every week for Sunday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Now a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, Printing and More Printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. Pep has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
It is a Wednesday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you, and the phone line is open, but hey, you already knew that. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
So far, dandy.
Dandy. Okay. I want to talk about Pam Bondi's firing, but before we do that, Scott's going, what? The young Republican asked him a couple of questions. Other than the wacky Democrats of the past 10 years, like they're just crazy now, they can't define a woman and stuff like that. And we can define women, right? We know what a woman is. Well, Scott, you know?
I've got a wild guess. I married one and had two daughters, so go ahead.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it's defined as an adult female with a vagina. And this is Webster's. A male is defined as an adult man with a penis. And a Democrat male is defined as an adult male with a vagina, just to let you know. Okay. So now, but other than, that's pretty funny. I don't care who you are. Stop laughing, Jeff. Other than the wacky Democrats of the past 10, 15 years, let's go back 20 years with the Democrat and Republicans. Ask this young gentleman, this young Republican, what are the philosophical differences between Republicans and Democrats? And I'm sure he's going to come back with, we believe in less taxes, we believe in, you know, self-determination, we believe in, it's the same standard Republican garbage. Because they're really, I haven't seen any big philosoph other than Ronald Reagan. And believe it or not, John Kennedy. And I want to ask you this, do you think that Donald Trump aligns more with John F. Kennedy than George Bush? Because George Bush, to me, was a Democrat. And look at Kennedy telling us he's going to tear up the CIA. There you go. Donald Trump went in there and attacked FBI and CIA. America first. Ask not what your country can do for you. I mean, I can give you 20 examples of where Donald Trump's philosophy aligns more with John F. Kennedy's, a Democrat, than with any Republican. And people hate him. Isn't that amazing? You know, the escalator stops. You know, I called for 50 years to get rid of that damn United Nations. It's as worthless as Harvard. They should rip it from its roots, bring it out to the Atlantic, and dump it in the ocean. They're worthless. And now they want to create a Palestine with Hamas and those scumbags. Are you kidding me? Really? They want, you know, and people go, well, you know, they're really not Jews. These are, I don't want to hear that. They're our ally. It's our stronghold in the Middle East, and they want to destroy these people. They are fighting for their lives. But here's why I called. When is Barack Obama the worst president in the history of the United States, who, by the way, wasn't a big liberal? He was very conservative in a lot of things he did. That evil man, when is he going to be prosecuted? Now, the information has been sent over to Pam Bondi. She's got 100 pages of evidence to get this guy indicted and prosecuted for Operation Hurricane, for lying about the dossier along with that creep songbird John McCain, who I could never stand, and the rest of these people that wanted to take down a president. And whether it was Donald Trump or anybody, it doesn't matter that it was Trump. It could have been. Why are we tolerating this? This is treason. I wouldn't want this done to a Democrat, and I can't stand them. You can't have government doing this to a sitting president or somebody running for office. Why aren't we outraged? Why? What the hell's going on?
That's
why. Answer that.
It's an interesting thought. Now, up until now, past presidents have essentially been untouchable. In other words, okay, you're done in the White House. Thank you. Have a nice retirement. Now, sure, in recent years, you got Barack Obama, who has not essentially been retired. You got Bill Clinton for the longest time, who essentially is not retired. Interesting, you have George W. Bush, who clearly is retired. He has stayed out of the public limelight and all that sort of thing. Joe Biden, again, is not all there, so I don't know what's going to happen to him. Ronald Reagan.
Well, I think you leave Biden alone. Biden alone.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it'll seem like piling on. But yeah. Obama is still very much a Democrat icon. And yes, some of the stuff about the Russia collusion crap, and that's what it was. It was crap. How much Obama had to deal with it. Even if he had a significant amount to deal with it, presidents have always been untouchable.
Not in this case, Scott. This has never happened. He went after a sitting president and a former president, and his name is on all the documents. He created, according to my sources, absolute treason. This guy, he's got to be shown as an example that this should be never done. And the FBI, I don't know why, I want to see every one of those FBI agents indicted. The FBI was involved. The CIA was involved. We should be shaking in our boots. Do you remember when Chuck Schumer said to Trump, there's seven ways to Sunday to get you if you go after these agencies? That's what he told Trump. This is way before the attack. So maybe when he goes after Obama, we're going to find out really where this came from. There needs to be 100 indictments.
Well,
if they get away from this, I'm telling you, if he gets away with this, I want to see 100 million Americans, not just 100,000 like January 6th, march on Washington and take the damn thing down by any means possible.
All right.
I'm not joking around. I'm being serious.
I'm sure you're not.
Someone has to go to jail. You and I would be in jail. You and I would. I've seen people go to jail over nothing.
Yeah.
I covered a court trial where this poor guy, this poor black guy, allegedly has some marijuana in his car. They stole $2,000 of his money. He couldn't even afford bail. There are people sitting in these county jails, and people listening to me know you have a relative or a friend that can't afford $100 bail over an allegation. I helped someone, we helped someone get their child back who was kidnapped by the state. And a year and a half later, the judge apologized and called for the prosecution of the people, the government officials that kidnapped his child, CPS. This we can't tolerate this. This won't survive. This is going to end up in violence. I'm telling you guys.
Well,
if something's not done, what's your thoughts on this, Jeff?
I don't think it's going to end up in violence.
Oh, it's going.
Now
to.
It'll be curious to see what Trump and Bondi do with this. I mean, if they go full throttle on this, this will make Watergate look like a garden party. I mean, it won't even be close. Okay. The question is, are they really, really going to push this, or are they just kind of making a show, knowing full well that presidents have always been untouchable, so we're going to mouth off a little bit, blah, 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 and then leave it alone?
No, he wants them done. He wants them done. The guy doesn't mess around. Listen, they stopped the escalator on him purposely. That needs to be investigated.
Why would they do that,
the
though?
Telephone.
Why would they
to be a jackass? Because to be a jackass, just to be. Do you ever deal with these people? Like, really deal with the Democrat or the liberals? They're just stupid. They do dumb things. You know. Now it came out, and I forget. Kelly was on the blog saying that, you know, the witches are casting spells against him. Well, these nuts have done this all the time. These are sick people, Scott.
These are men
that wear dresses and go into women's locker rooms, and your school boards agree with it. You know what? Let me tell you something.
I give
my name out. If my daughter, yes, they do it all the time.
No, not
all, over
all
the
of them. No.
But it's tolerated. If my daughter was in school, and I'm telling you this, as God is my witness, and my school board allowed that of the principal, I would drive down there, grab them by the back of their hair, and drag them out and beat the hell out of them. I'd be willing to go to jail for that.
That's a constructive solution.
I already told the principal when my daughter was in a government school, you do that again, you and I are going to have it out outside, and I'll go to jail.
Okay.
I'll bum rush you. That's what we need, men.
Men, where the hell are you? Women, God for women. They're the ones that are fighting.
Okay.
Come on, men, you bunch of cowards.
We got to take a break.
And I want to see Republicans and Republicans grow some balls. Come on, man.
Okay.
Ooh.
Thanks for the call.
We appreciate it.
He's on a roll this morning. Holy moly. Tough break. We have to take a break. Oh, shoot. Oh, anyway. No, we have an interesting guest coming up next hour.
We do.
We'll have some open line time toward the end of next hour. If you want to chime in on that or some of the things we're about to talk about, you will have your opportunity. There we go. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there, stop in today.
Stay big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Foxy Knowledge.
And we are off and running into hour two of our Wednesday edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byers and Scott Giese with you. Again, we'll have a little open phone time coming up in the final segment of today's big show.
Now, it's so rare when we talk politics on the show. I mean, this is a real rarity. Remember that call from a few minutes ago? Yeah, we don't do that. No, we're kidding. We started doing something almost 2 years ago, it's a long time ago, where we reached out to the Penn State College Republicans and College Democrats, because you got two slightly older folks here.
Sorry, what? Sorry, how dare you?
Sorry, buddy. I'm just being honest. And we wanted to know, what are young people thinking when it comes to politics? Well, Penn State has a College Democrats group, College Republicans group. So we reached out, and last year, or over 2 years, we had a number of different guests with interesting views. Now, fall semester started a month ago, and reached out again before the Charlie Kirk incident. And we've heard back from both. College Democrats, we need to do some scheduling because those folks have morning classes. Luckily, our friend Tristan here has absolutely nothing to do on Wednesday mornings. Hi, Tristan.
Hi. I'm doing well. How are you? Right.
From the College Republicans, who now have official College Republican clothing. That's very nice.
It is.
Thank you.
It is. It's sharp looking.
Yeah, we're going to be making more, you know, if you're interested.
I am interested.
Okay, get one.
I got to get my one for him.
All right. All right, Tristan, we got a lot of things to talk about. But first off, let's start about you. Tell us something about yourself. Where are you from? What class are you, like senior, junior stuff? What are you studying? What would you like to do with whatever it is you're studying? All right, tell us about you.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Bucks County, Newtown, Pennsylvania, so out on the eastern side of Pennsylvania. And right now I'm a junior. I'm studying political science and philosophy. And, you know, my goal is to go to law school. I want to be a JAG officer in the Pennsylvania National Guard. I'm in ROTC right now. So I'm going to go on, do that, and, you know, have a role in public service, help, you know, support our country.
Okay. You're from Bucks County. What town?
Newtown, Pennsylvania.
Newtown. All right, gotcha. I tell you, Bucks County has gotten a lot of publicity in the last several years, I guess, when it comes to politics. So, I mean, what's going on in Bucks County? Republican, Democrat, Democrat, Republican, suburban Philadelphia. What's going on down there?
Yeah, I mean, it really is a bellwether county, and we just saw that the voter registration in Bucks County flipped from Democrat to Republican. And that's part of a larger trend because right here in Center County, the same thing happened last year, a little after the election. And now in Pennsylvania at large, it's narrowed down to about 50,000 between registered Democrats and registered Republicans. So it's part of the wider trend that we're seeing of more people registering Republican and kind of narrowing that gap in Pennsylvania, which, you know, has been shown through the electoral trends with, you know, President Trump carrying it and, you know, a lot of all of our row offices went Republican. Senator Dave McCormick won. It's part of the larger trend. And, you know, in 2024, that was the first time President Trump won in Bucks County. And, you know, that's a really big development and really shows you where Pennsylvania is going.
All right. Let's stick with Bucks County, though. Why the change? When I think suburban Philadelphia, I think blue. I don't think red. I think blue. What has changed down there? Is it all Donald Trump? Is that it?
I think a big part of it is President Trump and kind of his changing message in the Republican Party, where he was reaching out to not just the suburban folks, but also the people that are in the working class communities in Lower Bucks. You know, a lot of the towns that have been left behind, he was reaching out to those people, and that's why he was doing so well in places like Erie, doing so well in places like Scranton, and why we've seen kind of that demographic of, you know, the working class, the old industrial towns that have fallen away due to, you know, a lot of these trade deals that we saw, like NAFTA. And that is a big part of it. And then also a lot of the issues, you know, there was so many people that were affected in Bucks County from the COVID shutdowns, just like everywhere else. And I think a lot of parents didn't want to see that continue and didn't want to see, you know, vote for someone who put these strict lockdowns on their children. And I think that was a big part of it as well.
All right. Talk about your group, College Republicans. How many people? Is it growing? How often do you meet? Talk about your group.
Yeah. So we meet every Monday in the Willard Building at 8 p.m., and we've definitely seen a lot of growth, especially in the past 2 years. And one of the shocking things, I think, was that our numbers and our engagement on campus has gone up this year compared to last year. And I think that's very interesting, that young people are even more interested in politics now, and more interested in Republican politics, conservative politics, after the presidential victory. We had so many people after President Trump won say, hey, we found out about you guys because of the Trump rally when he came on campus, and Glenn Thompson talked about our organization. And so it's really allowed us to do more and to, you know, help spread the message and also influence politics, whether that's here in Pennsylvania or going to New Jersey. We're going out there to help Jack Cittarelli for the governor's election. And so it's really allowed us to, you know, capitalize and create a bigger impact and help, you know, drive forward the kind of the Gen Z vision of the Republican Party and of politics in the future of the country that we want to see.
Yep. It's interesting. The So when I was in school, way back when, late 80s, early 90s, a group of my friends and I listened to Rush Limbaugh every afternoon, and we felt like we were rebels because it's like, man, this isn't what we're getting in school. When we loved, I mean, we would talk about the show, and man, that was a great singer there. That was a cool perspective here, and I mean, it was just fun. And I think what Rush Limbaugh did was tap into a large section of the population that wasn't sure that there were others that thought like us on a public scale. And it's like, oh, wait, no, my gosh, look at all these other people that are listening. What I find fascinating about Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA, and it sounds like what you guys were already doing with the college Republicans, is the outreach. Again, we felt like we were being reached too, and we were satisfied with that. It's like, oh, cool, there are other people that think like us. I loved what Charlie Kirk did, and again, what it sounds like you guys are doing, which is, hey, yeah, we think like this, and we know there are others that think like this, but we want more people that maybe don't know why we think like this to understand, hey, this is why we think this is the path forward, and engaging other people, which is clearly the next step. And I think it is why it does feel like there is a real surge here. I don't even know that I'd term it Republican as much as conservatism. And, yeah, man, this just makes a lot of sense once it's explained and you get by some of the catchphrases that the other side likes to throw out there. I'm just wondering your perspective as you're growing up, kind of how you matriculated toward becoming part of the College Republicans, and just your view of what your role is here on the political landscape.
No, absolutely. And I think Charlie had a big impact on that, because a lot of people on campus were more scared about showing their conservative beliefs and speaking out. And it wasn't until this year with the election when Charlie came on campus and handed out, and you saw people for days wearing MAGA hats afterwards, people being more proud of what they believed in. And then we had President Trump come to campus and seeing how many people showed out for him, how many students. We had a whole student section. It was packed. And then on election day, we handed out thousands and thousands of Trump signs. And I think people kind of realized that this is something they could be more open about. They didn't have to be afraid of. And I think that's where Gen Z is kind of taking the next step, where we're saying, like, yeah, we believe these things, and we all have learned this, whether it's through Charlie Kirk or through our parents or however you came to these beliefs, but we also want to have an impact. And this is what social media has done, is because we're able to now have that voice and engage with the people that are making the policy decisions, whether it's politicians, whether it's doing things like Charlie did, where he's coming and saying, hey, I want to hear what the young people have to say. I want to hear what you guys' opinions are. And I think that's what's so special, and that's kind of something that drew me into getting more involved in politics, is like, especially nowadays, especially with the internet, especially with social media, young people can have a voice, they can get involved, and we don't have to be the future of the country or the future of the party. We can be the president of the party. We can be the ones that are making the changes right now. And I think that's what you've seen, and that's why you've seen so many young people get involved in politics. You know, Run Gen Z is a big organization that has been promoting young people running for office. We just had a state senator out in Philadelphia, Joe Picozzi. He was 29 when he ran, and he won his election. He's a newest state senator, and he's a young Republican, and that's what we need to see, is more young people getting involved. And I think this is the generation that's going to show, like, hey, you know, our founders, a lot of them were young people. A lot of them were our age. All these major companies, you look at the major tech companies, they're all founded by young people. Mark Zuckerberg was in college when he started Facebook. We can have the impact, and we have had the impact, and young people need to know that they're able to go out there and make a difference.
All right. Here's a tangent question, Tristan. And I've been thinking about this for the last 2 weeks since what happened. If anybody is irreplaceable, all right, Charlie Kirk was only 31. How old are you?
I just turned 21.
Okay. Go have a beer. All right, there we go. All right. Legally. All right, thank you very much. So 31 is still young. Tristan, I'm 62. Okay, take Charlie's age and double it and you get me. All right, that's sad. He's gone now. Charlie Kirk is gone now. He was fantastic with these college appearances, okay? But I saw a story this week. The tour's continuing, but obviously it won't be Charlie. Apparently it won't be his wife, all right, Erica. Apparently it's not going to be her. The names I've seen are Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, Glenn Beck. Now, those are three well-known people, like on television and so on, but they're not young people. If one of those three came to this campus, Tristan, I mean, would people be as excited for that as they would be if it was Charlie Kirk coming again? Not a young person.
Yeah, I mean, I know Tucker's very popular among young people, but he doesn't have that same connection that Charlie did, because Charlie, one, you know, he was a young person. He started Turning Point at 18 years old, and that was a very special connection that a lot of people had with Charlie and him coming here, a lot of people getting to meet him, and I think that's why you saw at the vigil we held last Thursday, we had hundreds of students come out because they had that special connection. So yeah, I don't think there's anyone that's able to kind of replace him, whether it's on the tour or whether it's on the impact that he had with young people.
Is that bad?
From yeah.
your perspective as a Republican especially, is that bad?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a very sad thing. It's definitely going to be something where there's, you know, there's difficulties in moving on. But I think what we've seen is, I know multiple people have joined our organization, got involved with leadership after what happened to Charlie, saying, before, I didn't want to get involved in politics. I was either scared to share my beliefs or I didn't think it was something that I was really interested in. But now I feel like I don't have a choice. After what happened to Charlie, after his assassination, I need to get involved and I'm going to go out there. And so I don't think we know now who will be the one who's able to have that next connection with the young people and replace Charlie. But I think there's going to be thousands and thousands of young people that are going to take up the mantle and continue his work. And that broader impact is going to be able to help carry Gen Z and help advance the conservative movement among the young people.
Very interesting. All right, we'll see if that happens. Okay. All right. Now, Tristan, you're 21. God forbid I'm three times your age. That's really sad. A good question. Your opinion. What does the Republican Party stand for today? Things have changed over my lifetime. All right. From a young person's perspective, what does the Republican Party stand for today?
Yeah, I think if you look at what a lot of young people are looking for in their conservative party and what Donald Trump has brought to the conservative party, is that young people are seeing it's about American sovereignty and it's about rebuilding the American dream. Because the American dream that, you know, my parents and my grandparents had the opportunity to take advantage of doesn't really exist for young people. A lot of young people are not able to get good, well-paying jobs. They're not able to graduate from college and build a life and buy a home. And so that's the biggest thing. And that's the thing that, you know, when Donald Trump goes out there and talks about Make America Great Again, it's about returning hope for the American people that they can have a better future, that their lives and that their children's lives will be better than it is right now. And so I think that's the biggest thing about the Republican Party, is that, you know, the Republican Party needs to be the party of hope, needs to be the party of change, that we're going to rebuild the country to be what it once was so that people can succeed and have a better future and have a better life. And then on the other hand, it's American sovereignty. It's saying that, you know, we're going to return the governance of the country to the American people so they can have a voice, and we're not going to have it done by unelected bureaucrats, and we're going to return sovereignty to our borders to make sure that, you know, we have law and order in the country and that we don't have mass illegal immigration, and that we're able to, you know, make sure that we have a country that is prosperous and is helpful for young people specifically to be able to succeed.
All right. Now, Tristan, Donald Trump is done as president in January of 29, no matter what the rumors say. Okay. All right. Okay. There's the first question. If somehow, and folks, this will not happen, okay, but if somehow the rules could be changed, would you want him for a third term?
Well, he's done a great job. I don't know. I feel like you got to let him. He's done so much for the country. Like, he deserves a break. He deserves. He's going to be, I forget how old.
His early 80s.
His early 80s. Like, you know, he's done so much for the country, like, let's let him rest, you know, let him have a good time, go on the beach, enjoy Mar-a-Lago. And I think it will be good to have someone who takes up the mantle of President Trump and who can succeed him and really follow in his footsteps. And I think if that's a young person, that would be even better to kind of bring that message and have the youthful energy to carry on the movement after him.
All right, you follow this. Who's the next person?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be definitely a contentious primary. I mean, it looks like J.D. Vance is, you know, obviously he's the vice president, is going to be one of the people who's probably most likely to succeed him. And so, you know, J.D. Vance could be a great person. But also, if you look back, I mean, before 2015, people had no idea that, you know, President Trump is going to be running for president and Donald Trump's going to be the next nominee and he's going to be the next president. So there's always a chance that you have a wild card, that you have someone that you're not expecting. And so that'll be interesting to see. You know, I think JD has done a good job as vice president and he could make a great president. And I'm excited to see who else runs and what the conversation is looking like in another 3 years.
All right. Vance is relatively young.
Yeah.
I mean, he is. Okay. What if some old guy suddenly shows up? Would a young person or would young people back an older guy? Or do they really want, you mentioned earlier, we really want a younger guy, maybe like Vance. Marco Rubio, yeah, he's younger too. You definitely want a younger person. You don't want an older person.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something that a lot of people are talking about on campus. Was during 2024, they're like, oh, well, you know, both candidates are so old, like, we want someone younger. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, President Trump's done so well, he has that energy, even if he maybe, you know, in his late 70s, he still has that energy and he still has that force and that will to carry forward his agenda that the country wants to see put in place. But it would be really great to see a young person. I know it was very inspiring for a lot of young people to see, you know, JD's 4 years old. He's, you know, technically still in the age range for young Republicans because that's 18 to 40. And so a lot of people are very excited to see that. I'm very inspired to see someone who came from humble beginnings end up vice president at such a young age. So I definitely think a lot of young people, and it would be a great pool for young people if it was a younger person running for president.
All right. Before we take a break, what is your opinion of the other side?
Yeah, I mean, we work very well with the College Democrats. They're very great. And so we have a high opinion of them. They joined with us for the 9/11 memorial. A lot of their members came out for Charlie Kirk's vigil, and I was, you know, very touched by that. It was really great to work with them.
Okay, not so much the College Democrats, because I know your friends. The folks that we talked to previously were acquaintances.
Yeah.
And when we were done doing interviews, they would shake hands and talk to each other. I thought, this is really cool, because the older folks certainly aren't doing this. I'm talking about, in general, Democrat Party, the folks at the top. What's your opinion of them?
Yeah, I think the party is really lost right now. I think that's the biggest thing, is that they could not reach out to young people and have a compelling vision for them to follow, which is why you saw young people swing so hard for Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump had a vision of what he wanted the country to be. And really, Kamala Harris didn't have that. She didn't really have a compelling vision. That's why you saw her campaign really, you know, taper out among young people after the summer. Like, they did not have the energy. And so they need someone who's going to be able to fix that problem, unite the party, and I can't find someone that really has that voice, that has that unifying presence that President Trump has done for the Republican Party. And they're kind of lost is probably the best way to put it.
All right, before we take a break, now, I asked earlier, what does the Republican Party stand for? Your opinion now, as a Republican, what does the Democrat Party stand for? How would you answer that question?
Yeah, I mean, it really seems like the Democrat Party stands for a lot of, I would say they stand for a lot of special interests, a lot of interests that isn't necessarily to the benefit of all of the American people, because they will focus on a lot of small groups and different interest groups and different demographics and not focus on the country at large, not focus on, you know, what is the best for all of the American people, what is the best to return to a prosperous nation. And they are focused on these tiny little issues, on demographics that are 2% of the population or something like that. And I think that's the biggest problem they have is they're not looking out there and saying, we're going to reach out to all of the American people and present a vision for all of the American people. And that's what I feel like President Trump has done. Because Make America Great Again doesn't say, oh, we're only making America great again for these people who were aggrieved, you know, 300 years ago. It's saying, hey, all of the American people need to come together. We need to be unified. We need to have one strong voice and say, we're going to make the country great again. And that's what I want to see. And I think that's what a lot of young people want to see, because they want to have that opportunity in their future. And which is why I've seen a lot of young people go and break for Donald Trump in 2024. And I think they're going to remain with the Republican Party because of that.
All right. Let's take a break right here. Our guest is Tristan Kilgore from the Penn State College Republicans. Tristan, when we come back, I'm going to say, okay, what are the hot issues for you guys today? All right, because there's a slew of them. All right, we'll take a break. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll be right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub, right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It is Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. A little open phone time coming up in the final segment of today's big show.
All right. Again, we're talking with Tristan Kilgore of the Penn State College Republicans for another segment. All right, Tristan, I set the table for you. For you, your group, whatever you guys are talking about right now, what are the hot issues? I mean, tell us, maybe especially just in general or for young people in particular, what are the hot issues right now?
Yeah, I know the biggest issue for young people is having that ability to achieve the American dream. So better opportunities, better jobs, you know, a better housing situation, lowering the cost of living. That's the biggest thing. And I know President Trump has done a lot of great work with that. I know one of the biggest things recently that came up was the new changes to H-1B visa policies. And I know that was something that was a big conversation during the election. And I am very glad that that was done, because we want to see that these higher level, high skilled jobs are going to Americans first. It is ridiculous to say that, you know, we're asking young people to go to college, take on, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in debt. And then when they graduate, they're not going to be able to get a job because we're taking in people from other countries to take these high skilled jobs. That is not the American dream. That is not what the government should be doing. We should be promoting that, hey, the American students that we have that are the best of the best that are succeeding, they should be the ones getting these jobs. And we shouldn't be outsourcing that, whether that's moving jobs overseas or bringing in foreign workers to take those jobs here.
All right. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
All right. I was going to say, I'm going to put my devil's advocate hat on now, Tristan, okay? First off, I think a lot of people, when this story hit the other day, they don't know what H-1B, they have no idea what that is. This is for a visa for people from other countries to come in, usually high-tech jobs. And there was a fee. It was $5,000. You had to pay $5,000 to get one of these visas. President Trump wants to change that to $100,000. Tristan, 5 to 100? Come on.
Yeah, well, come on. So, I mean, the point of that is to incentivize companies to hire American workers.
Yes.
It should not be cheaper to hire someone from outside the country to take a job that American can do. And if you look at it, it just came out that the unemployment rates for American college graduates is higher than the average rate of unemployment in the entire country. For young people who graduated college, their unemployment rate is higher. And that shows you that the education system and the American economy is not working for young people. And changes like this to the H-1B visa policy is what is necessary to make it so that Americans can succeed after they graduate college.
All right, now here's the argument, though, from the other side, okay? They're saying, again, these are like high-tech jobs, like computers and stuff like that. They're saying, we don't have enough American young people to do this. We have to go overseas and bring smart people over here so that they can get this stuff done because we don't have them here. All right, Tristan, what do you say to that?
Yeah, and my response to that would be kind of twofold. Is one, if you look at the unemployment rates, there's a ton of American graduates that are looking for jobs, especially if you look at some of these tech jobs, the computer science field. The job market for computer science majors after they graduate is so tough. They're not able to find jobs. A lot of them are not using their degrees. And so that's the one thing. One, we have the Americans that graduated, have these degrees, and are able to do that. They have the skills to do that. But the jobs are already full from people on H-1B visas or, you know, other situations where, you know, there's people working those jobs already. And I think the other part of it is that President Trump is not restricting the ability for companies to bring in workers from outside the United States to train Americans. So if you look at it, he just struck the deal with South Korea where they're able to bring over their workers to train Americans on this manufacturing robotics technology so that we can have high-skilled workers in the United States. And that's kind of the difference. It's like we're able to, you know, use the skills that people in other countries may have by training Americans, and then Americans are able to have those skills and work those jobs.
Do you does it feel like there is a surge? Maybe we're too early to see it in the wake of Charlie Kirk. I know you talked about it in the wake of the election, which I think, from a conservative's perspective, is great to hear. But does it feel like there's now maybe another wave coming of, yeah, let's really look, because I have seen, and it's very anecdotal, but I actually have a couple of friends who's like, I had never even heard of Charlie Kirk, or I was aware, but I've only seen, you know, the snippets, and now actually listening and going back and watching the videos, it's like, holy cow, like this was very impactful, and despite the stuff I'm hearing about him being racist and hateful, I can't find any evidence of it, because everything I'm seeing is just the opposite when you actually sit down and watch the videos. I'm just wondering, do you think we're going to see kind of another surge here of conservatism, Republican Party, in the wake of this?
We definitely are. I mean, we're seeing it on campus already. The amount of people that are wanting to get involved in politics is larger than ever. It's larger than the 2024 election. More people are interested in getting involved in politics and feel like they have to get involved in politics after, you know, Charlie Kirk's assassination compared to the 2024 election. They're saying, hey, like, this is a situation where this was a normal guy. He was not an elected official. He was not in a position of power. He was just a normal guy. He was a young person, just like me. He started this organization when he was my age. And if people are going to get assassinated for going out and talking their beliefs as a young person with no power, no political office, then I need to speak up because this is wrong, this is evil, and we must stop this if we're going to be able to, you know, continue on as a nation.
All right, foreign policy. All right, you got Israel, Gaza, you got Ukraine, Russia, you've got President Trump yesterday telling Ukraine, yeah, you can get all your land back. Yeah, I've changed my mind, essentially. I think you can get all your land back. I'm not sure how Ukraine's going to do that unless we help them. What's your opinion on all those things?
Yeah, I mean, I know this is a big part of President Trump's negotiation tactics, I would say, because I don't know how reasonable, unless the United States went to war with Russia, it would be for them to get back all the land, including Crimea, which has been, you know, Russian for a decade. I just want to see peace. That's the biggest thing. America should not be going to war with Russia. We should not be going to war with Iran. We should be bringing peace. That's what President Trump ran on. That's why a lot of young people supported him. So many young people would come to me and talk about how they were scared about going to war with Russia. They were scared about World War III. And they supported President Trump because he was the peace president. He was the president of no new wars. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that, yeah, I think a lot of the rhetoric from President Trump is done for negotiation tactics. You know, this is the art of the deal. This is how you negotiate. But I think at the end of the day, we need to stay in the position of, we want to bring peace to these regions. We don't want to see the war. We don't want to see the death. We don't want to see the killing. And we don't want to see America get involved in another endless war overseas. It's not good for our people, and it's not good for anyone, because we don't want to see the death toll.
All right, devil's advocate again, Tristan. There are bad guys around the world. They're there. They're not going anywhere. At some point, we have to deal with them. We'd prefer to deal with them over there than over here. But at some point, I mean, more military-type stuff. Young people, I mean, it sounds great. Yeah, we want peace and so on. Sometimes you got to come out with a big fist or the big stick, as Teddy Roosevelt used once upon a time. All right. Would young people be totally against this?
Well, I think young people know, like, if there is a necessary situation where we have to use military force to protect the country, then we should do that. But that doesn't mean going on, foreign escapades to invade countries or pursue regime change. Because young people, we grew up with seeing the failures of Iraq, the failure of Afghanistan, the failure of Libya, it has never worked. It has never worked. Every time we've pursued regime change, it has failed. And we don't want to see that continue. Yes, we should not stand and support, terrorist regimes or anything like that. We should work against them. But that doesn't mean we need to send Americans to go fight them. We can empower our allies to fight them overseas, but we don't necessarily need to have Americans doing that. And if we pursue a policy where we're able to, work with foreign governments and build better relations, then we wouldn't have all the conflict that we see right now.
All right. Do you watch late night TV?
Occasionally, not too much.
Oh, come on, Tristan. When I was in school, it was Johnny Carson, God forbid, back then, but I watched that stuff. All right, this whole Jimmy Kimmel dust-up over the past week or so. All right, your perspective. What do you think about all this?
Well, it's really sad to see people going out there and either supporting or belittling the assassination of Charlie Kirk. It's really disheartening, because we know that that will only continue to raise the temperature, only continue to get more people possibly killed. I mean, you saw an assassination attempt on President Trump and he was shot, and people celebrated that. And then you saw another assassination attempt on President Trump, and that guy was just convicted yesterday. And people were celebrating that. And people continue to say, you see on TikTok all the time, people say, like, oh, we hope the thing happens, talking about President Trump dying or President Trump being assassinated. So you see people supporting that, and then you see now Charlie Kirk gets assassinated because of that same rhetoric, and then people are celebrating that. and it's really unacceptable. And I was really glad to see, you know, the college Democrats and a lot of Democrats come out against this. But to see professors, to see people like Jimmy Kimmel, who have a platform, who have a voice, say, you know, either celebrating it or belittling it or blaming people who have no involvement in it, saying, oh, it was a conservative that did it when there was no evidence of that and he didn't really know. That kind of divisive thing, just placing the blame, is only going to continue to raise the temperature and continue to get people killed. And we can't have this in the country. If we want to have a successful democratic republic, if we want to have our system continue, we need people to be able to go out there and denounce violence. And, you know, I was glad to see Jimmy Kimmel apologize, but we shouldn't have people saying that, and it shouldn't be tolerated in the country.
I'm not sure he quite apologized last night. Maybe he kind of danced
it was
around
like
it
a little bit.
Now, should that kind of speech be shut down, Tristan?
Well, I think, one, people have the First Amendment. People have freedom of speech. They can say what they believe. But I don't think, you know, news channels or universities should tolerate, you know, their professors going out there and saying that, because that's not right, especially for professors who are going to be teaching young people and educating them and being the people that we're supposed to look up to and learn from. Universities should not be tolerating that. And that's not to say people's First Amendment rights should be restricted. But if you're going to go out in there and celebrate the assassination of Charlie Kirk, you know, you should lose your job, because that's not a proper thing to do if you're supposed to be a role model for students.
Now, you've said universities, professors a couple of times. You go to a university.
Yes, I
do. Are you saying this is happening over there?
I think we at Penn State are extremely lucky. We have great professors, and I haven't seen that happen once. There's been no professors celebrating Charlie Kirk's death at Penn State, and I'm really glad that the, you know, university administration here at Penn State is supportive. They make sure that people aren't going to be saying things like that. They definitely understand the impact that Charlie had. They saw when he came to campus how many young people, how many students are supportive of him. And I'm very happy to say that we haven't seen one professor celebrate or belittle the death of Charlie Kirk.
All right. Now, we've debated this on the show many times. Cancel culture used to always come from the left. In the last 2 weeks, Tristan, it sure looks like it's starting to come from the right. Oh, no, that's just a left-wing thing. I don't, this is my opinion now, I don't think so. You mentioned something a minute ago about, well, maybe you should lose your job for stating something like that. I don't know, Tristan, that's a little dangerous.
Yeah, I think, you know, you definitely have a good point there. You know, people do have the First Amendment, and we don't want to say, like, oh, we're going to cancel you. But I think if you look at the difference between what the left was canceling people for, I mean, people got banned for saying, you know, just benign things about, hey, like, you know, we should build a wall, like, we shouldn't have, you know, mass immigration, and they would get banned on YouTube for that. Or they would get, you know, banned on YouTube for saying very simple things. And I think it's not too, you know, strict of a line to draw to say, like, hey, if you celebrate someone getting murdered, maybe that's a little too far to be having a late night show and to be teaching students that it's a good thing to assassinate your political opponents. So I think that is a line where you can say, like, you know, if you're advocating violence, you should be canceled.
All right. I've got a wrap up on our Mr. Ironhead. You got something?
Well, we got to get to the important stuff of the day. What's happening here Saturday night at Beaver Stadium? What's the prediction here?
I think the prediction is that the Penn State Nittany Lions are going to go out there and they're going to beat the Oregon Ducks, and then we're going to have a national championship team coming up.
That is taking a stand, my friends. I'm telling you.
What do you expect him to say?
Are you going to the game?
I'll be out there. I didn't get season tickets this year, sadly. So I don't know if I'll be in the game, but I'll be out there tailgating, and then I'll be watching.
Gotcha.
All right. Final thing. I mean, your group, you mentioned the group meets every Monday night or something like that. You have some upcoming, I don't know, activities? Do you have any activities that are public? In other words, not just students, like anybody could go to.
Yeah, so, I mean, our meetings are open to the public, so we meet.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they are. Okay. We meet Monday at 8 p.m. in Willard 160. But our next big events that we have coming up, I think the biggest thing is that we are going to New Jersey to go knock doors. We're doing a deployment with all of the Pennsylvania College Republicans, not just Penn Staters. We're doing it with New York College Republicans, New Jersey College Republicans. We're having people across the country come out to go to the Jersey Shore and go knock doors, a very important area for Jack Cittirelli. And so that's a big thing that's coming up October 25th. We're going to be doing that. And then, you know, we have Election Day coming up, and we're going to be tabling out there in the hub, supporting our judicial candidates. So there's big things coming up. We're going to have some more events that we're working on. We have our Pennsylvania Collegiate Leadership Conference, the third annual one. That's going to be January 16th to 17th. That's open to everyone. We bring out great speakers. Last year, you know, we had multiple congressmen. We had some great speakers, and it's a really good time. So I would encourage everyone to come out to that.
Great. I'm blanking. Do you have a website?
We do, PennStateGOP.org.
Okay. So spelled out, PennStateGOP.org.
Yep, that's correct. And then we're on Instagram, TikTok, X, everything.
Wow.
All those things that young people do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't latched onto TikTok yet. I've seen some stuff. I'm like, whoa.
Look at that. You got to get clips from the show. Put it on TikTok. There you go. You'll blow up.
That absolutely has to happen.
Maybe. Okay. Hey, it was great to have you. Thanks for coming over.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Again, we hope to get somebody from the College Democrats. We just have to make the schedule work. All right. It's.
I got to stop scheduling these 8 o'clock classes. Wait, what are you doing?
Apparently every
day. It's too early. I'll never take one, you know.
All right. But thanks for coming over. And good luck to you and your group.
All right. Thank you so much.
Appreciate
it was great to be on.
I appreciate the perspective.
All right. We're going to take a break. We will have one more segment. You can sound off via the phone if you'd like to, or some other things as well. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me every Sunday for a marquee primetime NFL matchup. Scott Graham gets things started with a pregame show from the studio with exclusive player interviews and the latest league news. Then from the stadium, Mike and I bring you the exclusive play-by-play call of the action. Join us every week for Sunday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Stay big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Yeah.
Let's talk here on a Wednesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We do have some open phone time here at 814-954-7266.
All right, that was a well-spoken young man.
Yeah.
All right. Spoken like an old guy. All right. Anyway, again, when we've had these conversations with both groups, the college Republicans and the college Democrats, I actually feel better at the end of the conversations because, again, it's that age-old thing. The older generation is looking at the younger generation and saying, oh, my God, we're doomed or something like that, you know. And when you have a chance to have conversations like that one, okay, we may disagree on some things, but I don't feel doomed because that's a well-spoken young man. He made some, I thought, very good arguments on various things that we talked about there. It's not what you see on television, which is somebody wearing a mask, and they're screaming and yelling and F-word. And that's what we see on television, which drives me insane because you're thinking, do they all act like that? And the answer is no. No, they don't. Either side, no, they don't. The reasonable people are reasonable. They got good ideas. Again, you may disagree. They've got good ideas and so on. But again, what we see in the media are the crazy people. I'm not sure what other word to use. You see the crazy people. And then you have well-spoken people like Tristan here. And whenever we can make the connections with somebody from the Penn State College Democrats, I'm sure it'll be the same thing. They will have well-reasoned arguments in a different direction. But it's like if you put these folks up on a debate stage, it would be an interesting conversation. And they've done that, all right, between the two sides. It's not what we see at the Allen Street gates, which is the people with signs and F-word and all this other stuff. Again, why those people do that is beyond me. Because one man's opinion, they make themselves look silly. But they seem to not have a problem with that, going out and looking silly. They're not helping their argument. I think in many cases they're actually hurting their argument by all this stuff. Meanwhile, you have people like Tristan here and folks on the other side who make reasoned arguments. I like to listen to those. Not the people wearing masks, chanting, and F Trump and all this stuff. No. No. So, now, will we reach those folks? Yeah, probably not. Unfortunately, probably not. But, anyway. All right. 814-954-7266. We got about 8 minutes or so. You know, if you'd like to chime in on what you just heard, maybe you agree with something, maybe you disagree with something. All right, this is your opportunity to sound off. The one question I had for Tristan is, again, the whole Charlie Kirk thing. Charlie Kirk was special because he started an organization especially aimed at young people, and he, I think, relished going out and talking on, especially on college campuses. So he came here essentially 1 year ago, almost exactly 1 year ago, and did his presentation and so on. He was at this university in Utah 2 weeks ago where he did the same thing, and he had a whole lineup, I guess, of other appearances. I don't think here, I don't recall seeing one that he was going to come here, but I don't know the whole schedule. His group, again, is called Turning Point USA. They have a website. You can look it up. But I saw this story. You know, who's going to pick up the ball now that Charlie Kirk is gone? They're going to continue this tour. Well, who are the speakers going to be? Is it going to be another young person? Well, if there is, I don't know any famous names like Charlie Kirk. All right, he was a famous name. I couldn't think of one. And so then I saw the story this week. Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, and Glenn Beck. I bet most young people probably don't even know who Glenn Beck is. I mean, Glenn Beck's like as old as I am, I think. I have to look that up. They are going to complete his college tour. Is it going to be the same? All right. You had, I mean, again, Charlie Kirk went out of his way during these events. He didn't just get up and give a speech. He would have a section where he would say, okay, if you don't agree with me, come to the front of the line. I want to talk to you first. And you can go online. You can find these video clips where they'd have a back and forth about abortion, or they'd have a back and forth about foreign policy, or they have a back and forth with, you know, pick a topic. All right. And so you had a college student. So figure 21, 22 years old, maybe. Then you had Charlie, who was, well, 31 or 30 or 29 or whatever. So you had young people talking face to face. Is that going to replicate with somebody who, like Glenn Beck, who's, I don't know, 60 years old, talking to a college student? I just think that that's going to lose part of its charm. I'm not sure that's the right word. It's going to lose part of its allure with young people. That's the whole point of this Turning Point group. They were trying to reach young people. All right? You want to trot Glenn Beck out there. Is he going to reach young people? Tucker Carlson? Megyn Kelly?
I think you'd
be... What do you think?
Yeah, I think you are...
I'm off?
Yeah, I think you're showing your age and not understanding how well Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly connect with college students.
Okay. I won't say I disagree. I'm skeptical that how can these people reach the young group that Charlie Kirk absolutely reached? No doubt. I mean, we've seen the outpouring in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and Eric is going to be a driving force, and certainly, based on what we saw over the weekend, she has a similar ability to connect.
All right, well, I don't know.
In a big way.
Other than what's happened in the last 2 weeks, I have no knowledge of her. Zero. Because it was Charlie.
Yeah.
It was Charlie. And so, all right, let's... Now, again, she's not on this list. Now, granted, she's now running...
She's on the list of speakers. Is that what you're talking about?
She's running the organization. She has two young children.
She does.
All right. Now, there's something that's kind of important. So when I thought, okay, who's going to... My question was, is anybody out there really irreplaceable? I mean, just across the board, not just this, anything. Is anybody really... irreplaceable.
Well, what do you mean by irreplaceable?
Like,
because yes, there's lots of people. You know, is somebody filling the role that Myron Cope did on the Steelers broadcast? Yes. Is it ever going to be the same? No.
No.
Myron was one of a kind. Rush Limbaugh. Are there a bunch of people? And there are. And they are wonderful. And I listen to them. And they do a great job. But Rush was unique. He had his style. He had his way of presenting stuff, and it can't be replicated. And if somebody tried to replicate it exactly, right, they'd be called out. It's like, well, this, you know, part of what anybody has to do is again, be your authentic self. And radio and in, you know, these discussions with Turning Point USA, if you're there, you have to be authentic. You can't do that day after day. You can't come on the radio. You can't do discussions across college campuses day after day, year after year, and not be authentic. People will pick up on it and say, okay, well, yeah, you're full of it. And, you know, part of why, not the full reason, but part of why, Rush Limbaugh and Charlie Kirk were so effective is because they were very authentic. I mean, they were who they were. They believed what they believed, and they were able to communicate that. And if you listened to either of them for any length of time, you clearly understood where they were coming from. Now, if you had people, which clearly we do, who listened in 15-second clips that were taken from a broadcast or a talk and presented by the other side as this is an example of how vile this person, well, yeah, I mean, you can do that with anybody. And again, right, they probably both had moments and it's like, I wish I could take that back. again, you're talking for hours on end, day after day. Yeah, somewhere along the way, all of us that have been in the medium for any length of time, it's like, ah, man, I didn't phrase that right, or ah, I wish I could have that back. I wanted to express that a little differently than what I did, or I overreacted here, or man, you know what? I didn't react strongly enough there. That, I do feel more passionate. It happens. Again, it's human beings. But so when you say irreplaceable, will there be other people out on the speaking tour and will people connect with them? Yes. Will it be the same as Charlie Kirk? No. Charlie was very unique. And yeah, that won't be exactly replicated. It can't be. But the message, I think, will go on.
All right, well said.
As will the rest of your day. And then we will be back and talk to you again tomorrow.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.